This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
2:04 in the morning on this Thursday morning as I'm getting ready for, you know, a little bit of a vacation. Nothing too crazy, not the normal Disney trip, but just heading down to Florida. Get a couple days in the sun after the bitter cold that's been over the last couple days. 888-808-1019. It's starting to become spring. We're getting closer to summer. Baseball is here. Two teams struggling. NBA winding up. We saw the big story in the NBA, obviously, last night was Luka returning to Dallas, emotional during the opening highlight package that and tribute video that the Dallas Mavericks played for Luka. He's literally crying, and you feel for the guy on some level. I mean, look, he's an incredible superstar. He's making a ton of money. He's playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's having a great year. He dropped 45 points in this game. The entire crowd is chanting his name. The entire crowd is chanting for the firing of for the GM who traded him. Like, it's just fire Nico chants erupting throughout the building. He drops 45, but clearly he never wanted to leave Dallas. I mean, when a superstar gets, you know, treated the way he did, where he's not told anything, he's in the middle of the night, he gets traded away. It was an emotional thing for him, obviously. And that's the story of the night, as the Lakers take down the Mavericks 112-97. Luka drops 45 points to beat the Dallas Mavericks and remind everybody in Dallas on the mistake they made. That one, I mean, that the ramifications from that are going to be felt for forever. That was one of the more stunning trades in the history of sports. Like, that one came, you do not trade guys like Luka. I mean, were there issues? Sure. Like, you know, does he have a bit of a weight problem? I mean, like, the tiniest of little bits. Like, it's not anything to me that, and he led them to the NBA Finals. He's an incredible player. And to move him, I mean, for, you know, Davis and a bunch of nobodies, like, it was a incredible, incredible trade. And obviously last night, that's the story across the country, is Luka back in Dallas dropping 45 to beat the Mavericks and all of the emotions that went through it. And you feel bad for the guy. You could tell he was really emotional. I understand that. I'm an emotional guy. I have feelings. I hurt too. If you cut me, do I not bleed? I do. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? Thank you.
I was driving back from Ottawa, Navan, actually, watching the Navan grads in the CCHL, which is a Canadian Junior Hockey League. And here you come up with Alanis Morissette and one of my favorite all-time artists. And, of course, you know, I don't know if a lot of Americans know, but she's a Canadian.
Yes,
right out of Ottawa. And it's kind of funny because there's a when I was at that game tonight, I saw a kid, 6'2", 195, Kiki Brown. And I said, you know what? This guy would be perfect for New York. He's just a star. And hopefully I can get him to a Division I school. And I'm looking at Tennessee State. I don't know if you know about Abercrombie. You might know a lot about him. He's trying
and
to
Fitch?
Build a program.
Yeah, sure. I know him. I know him well. I never went in that store at the mall, but I'm aware of it.
You're great. I just wanted to say, if you love music, take a gander at Emma Cook. It's K-O-K with Andre Rieu. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal singer. She's 16 years old, and she'll knock your socks off. But mm-hmm. I want to just talk about one thing. If you were talking about Shador and he might be dropping, I don't really know why he's dropping. I don't really know if it's like negativity around him because of his entourage, his father. But if you don't pick him at the Jets, if the Jets come up with him, I would be really, really shocked. But I also, you know, I want to know what you think. And I've talked to Keith about this. He's a football guy. I didn't realize you were a football guy, but now I know.
I'm having some fun. I was a high school football player. I don't know if that makes me a football guy or not, but I was at a school that had zero scouts show up to any of the games. I was a fairly good high school football player.
You're still a football player as far as I'm concerned.
There we go.
So there's a guy out of Louisville. His name is Tyler Shuck. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah. Yes.
I think this guy is phenomenal. I read about him. I looked at his stats, short, long, and medium. He's got over a 90% accuracy, mm-hmm. and he's played in different programs. What do you think about him? If they somehow don't pick Shador, would you think they'd go after him in the second round?
No, not the second round, and probably not even the third. I don't know. I have a hard time trying to figure out what the Giants are going to do if they don't draft Shador Sanders at the quarterback position. Because they got to bring another quarterback into the room. They have to draft a quarterback this year. They just have to. And I don't know if it's not the first or second where I don't think Shuck would go, then he's just one of these quarterbacks that they'll take a flyer on, and it could be one of, you know, several. Like, I'm not overly impressed with him. He's not someone that's going to make me feel like they've drafted the quarterback of the future, that he falls under the flyer. Now, he might be great. Who knows? We've seen flyers be taken, right? I mean, theoretically, the Giants starting quarterback right now, Russell Wilson, was a flyer in the fourth round and came in and outplayed Flynn, who they gave a big contract to, and they rolled with him. So, I mean, you never know, but that would fall under the flyer, see if what you have there, Joe Milton, you know, type of quarterback, and you see if you get lucky.
Now, I do have to say this. Shuck is, and this is probably the biggest issue with him and the biggest problem, I would think, for teams drafting him.
Yeah.
He's turning 26 in September, so he is what he is physically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, yeah.
It's hard to draft him and expect too much more than what you're getting. You're kind of getting what you get.
Right. And as long as, if that's good and they like it, the age at the quarterback position doesn't concern me that much. Because you got him for 5 years, and then if he's, you got him for 4 or 5 years, and then if he's great, you sign him. And these quarterbacks are playing, you know, well into their mid-30s and being successful. So, like, I understand your point, though. You can't expect growth physically. He is what he is. His arm strength's what it is. He's not going to hone any more physical tools at that age. But what Michael Penix was around that same age, right? Michael Penix is an older quarterback. That was an issue discussed, and I remember Joe Shane talking about it in the Hard Knocks, talking about age at the quarterback position doesn't really bother him, and nor me. So if they think he's the best guy, I'm fine with taking him at 25, 26. I'll live with that. I just don't, that would fall under a flyer. Let's see if it sticks, but I would have no real confidence, nor the Giants and Shane and Dable or the organization be held to any sort of, you know, reasonable, hey, we got to see what this guy is. We drafted him with a premium pick. I don't think that will be the case. Tito and Yonkers, what's up, Tito?
Yeah, well, one thing is, why do we have to hear Craig say programs?
Huh.
I lost my train of thought. He says programs.
He says program. Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's just, well, I mean, listen, it's what he says. It's how he says it. And he says it, never changed it because he has fun with it. I don't think I don't want to, like, you know, kayfabe this or put, I don't know if he believes that's how it's actually pronounced, or he just likes saying it that way.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, every part I was at, I'm also born in 83, so Bone Thugs and Harmony, you have to mention
oh,
that.
Oh, Bone Thugs and Harmony. I was just looking.
There's no party that I went to that didn't have Bone Thugs playing at some
Yeah, I know,
point.
But for me, the best Bone Thugs and Harmony song is not even their song. It's on Life After Death with Biggie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Notorious Thugs. Yeah, yeah that's...
Notorious Thugs.
Which is, I mean, listen, yeah. Life After Death, Ready to Die, both would be ultimate great albums of the 90s for me. I love Biggie.
You recall the CD case that was double wide? Oh, man.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, it was like, it was very like dark and gray, and he was like in a fur coat or something standing in the front of the album. Yeah. No, a classic.
You know, a picture of Big Zoo in a fur coat.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Big Zoo could definitely pull off the Biggie look. There's no question. But yeah, I was looking at like a list of best 90s albums to see what I'm forgetting. Obviously, there's a lot. It's later and it goes with the theme of the R&B type thing. But The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is an unbelievable album. I'm a big REM
Mariah
guy.
Mariah Carey was also in there, obviously.
Mariah Carey, you could put in there, absolutely. Yeah. I think Out of Time, REM, which had Losing My Religion on it. I think that's one of the better.
I can't put that in there with the R&B though.
No. I'm just talking best 90s albums. Not REM's not R&B. No. I'm saying just best albums of the 90s. And I just said that The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill would fall under what we have been talking about.
Sure.
But yeah, no. REM. I mentioned 10 from Pearl Jam. Nevermind. Nirvana.
Yeah.
These are all classic albums. But yeah. Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang in 93. TLC Crazy Sexy Cool was a really big album. Waterfalls, Red Light.
Was something that, I mean, I recall that as being the videos. Back then,
yes.
The music videos
do you remember?
Fantastic.
Bro, do you remember when music videos were it? And you knew when a song, when you heard it on the radio,
MTV,
you're like, oh, I'm looking forward to the...
everything.
I'm looking forward to the music video. You would correlate the song with the music video. Like, if you play a song from that time period, I immediately go right to the music video. And nowadays, like, why do they still have the MTV Music Awards? Like, for what? They have best music video? There are no music videos.
Is Big Zoo in your same age frame?
I think he's a little younger than me. I think Big Zoo is a little younger.
Okay. He seems like he has a very wide musical...
Yeah, Big Zoo was born in 1995. He's a little
95. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's got
12 years younger than us.
That's a big difference. Okay.
No, but yeah,
one sports point I want to make.
Sure.
Real quick. I just want to ask your opinion on the robot umpire thing.
Yes.
A little bit kind of an old school thing. I wasn't sure if I wanted the National League to have the DH. I'm just not sure on how this is going to go. Like, I don't. What is your opinion on how this is going to be? I don't really know if I like it or how is it going to work out? And that's just, all I want to ask. Bob.
Yeah, no, you got it, buddy. And thank you for the call, Tito. I know the Yankees didn't love it. I would have to think how the rest of Major League Baseball felt about the replay system that they are using and implementing in minor leagues and they tried in spring training. My gut tells me they're never going to do that. My gut tells me that Major League Baseball is going to wait until they feel extremely confident in the technology just to have the automated strike zone. That's it. Where every pitch is being judged ball or strike by a computer system. They buzz the umpire. He makes the call. I don't think they're going to have a replay system for strikes. That's just my gut feeling. Maybe I'm wrong. They are implementing it in the minor leagues. It did work. I mean, I think it was 53% of the calls in spring training were overturned. That the batter or the pitcher who called the challenge was right 53% of the time. So it's like a 50-50 proposition. I think Major League Baseball is not going to do that, and they are just going to eventually at some point implement the automatic strike zone, the computerized strike zone, which I am all in favor for. Like, it's hard to not be in favor for the call being right. Like, I don't know how anyone could say it. And I, again, I disagree with Boone on this. I've heard him talk about it. He does his weekly interview with Talking Yanks and John Boy Media. And he went on this whole thing about how he hates the replay system. And he gave one interesting dynamic about because you are limited with the amount you can do it, that players might be annoyed at other players for taking up all of the... He's like, you're going to have guys who constantly challenge, and then other players are going to be like, I'm sick of you wasting all our challenges. And like, I was like, I didn't even think of that. But the idea of, oh, you know, the umpires are good, and, you know, I don't like this challenge system. I don't like to have to think about it. I don't want the players thinking about it. I'm like, that's fine and all, but you want the call right, no? You're telling me the Yankees lose a big game, a playoff game on a terrible strike call? You're going to be like, oh, well, I'm glad we didn't have a chance to make the call right? Like, there is no way in hell you could feel that way as a baseball player, as a baseball coach, as a baseball fan. I'll live with it. If my team gets a break call, like a bad call, wins a game for the Yankees, and then replay shows it was what it was, and they overturn it, I'll be annoyed, but I'll live with it. It's. Can you imagine getting struck out game seven of the World Series on a bad, like Judge gets a low strike zone call, like he gets constantly, and I'll be furious. I want the right calls. That's it. And if they get to a place where they feel like the robotic strike zone or the automated strike zone gets the call right every single time, then implement it. I want the calls right. Now, I think that's it. I'm fine with the replay system at first and second and third. I don't think we have to go crazy on, you know, getting a completely, like, just balls and strikes. It's not an easy thing to do. We miss calls all the time. You're only human. I want the right call. And I'm fine over the course of 162, a game in July versus the Baltimore against the Kansas City Royals, or a game in July against the, you know, Washington Nationals. Like, will I live with a bad call here or there? Sure. But in the playoffs, in the biggest of games, I want the calls right. So I'm in favor of it. Brad in Caldwell, New Jersey. What's up, Brad?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Well, you just...
Excuse me?
They're not going to change the thing from 162, are they?
Change what? change what? The strike zone?
No! The game.
Oh, the number? I hope not. Brad, I hope not. I know there's a lot of talk right now about the weather and how cold it is in April and starting the season later.
It's chilly. I was there.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that conversation...
Yesterday, I was there on Sunday. It was chilly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Wear a jacket, wear gloves, wear long johns, and figure it out. And I understand it, and it hurts the product.
C-Mac, I did not have the long johns on.
Uh-huh.
But I had everything else covered.
Well, I mean, listen, I know that it hurts the product as well. The game isn't as good. It's not a game meant to be played in this weather. I get it. But to me, I want 162. And people don't recognize this. People don't say it.
You're absolutely right.
But like, when you start having a conversation about moving the start of the season later, how does that happen without losing games? Because they're not going to go into November.
Okay. See, Mac, sorry. I'm going to now. This is the girl talking. What about...
And he's gone. I have no idea what he said there. The girl in me, the girl in you. I don't know. I think he was going to make a music point. Did he tell you what the music point was?
I don't know, but maybe it was about the girl is mine.
The dong gong girl is mine.
Do, 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 do.
That is actually my parents' wedding song.
Wow.
And they hated it.
Why?
They let the guy make it. Like, it was, I guess they had a band or something, and he gave them options, and like my father, and they were like running out and they were late to get something. They said, whatever the song is, you guys play whatever you want. And the band played for their first dance, The Girl Is Mine, and my dad hated the song.
I won't build you up to be let down, thinking that she's yours, not mine.
Oh, look at you, big, That's a baritone Broadway kind of song there. You really went deep into character with that one. I like it.
I'm a big operatic singer.
Yeah, look at you. I like it.
Give me a little Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah. You can sing Bocelli. And
a little Conte Partiro.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow out anybody's ears.
Little Step Brothers, yeah. But yeah, The Girl Is Mine is a terrible song. I'm not a big fan of it. But yes, the obviously Say, big hit with him and Michael Jackson was, oh, that I did, you know, whatever it's worth. I did also love the black and white album of Michael Jackson when I was young. I used to love that song. It's got a great guitar intro. All right,
hold on, though. Yeah. You just said you liked that album.
Yeah.
Is it your favorite?
Michael Jackson album?
Yeah.
No. When okay. I was a kid, I had that. That was that one. That's the one that came out. I got the cassette, but no. Obviously, I mean, you know, Thriller and, I mean, there's a bunch of great Michael Jackson albums. Why am I thinking of the big one? What's the...
Bad.
Thrill? Bad. Well, Bad was a good album, too, but it's got... The Way You Make Me Feel, which is one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs.
Dirty Diana.
Yeah, so you're very well versed in Michael Jackson being born in 1995. Look at you.
I had some good parents. They gave me
good
music.
There you go. Yeah. No, what's the Thriller and what's the other?
Off the wall.
Let's go to back to the calls. Charlie and Beth Page. What's up, Charlie?
J-Mac, how we doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm listening to you talk about football.
Yeah.
You were one of the toughest kids in Cary High School football back in the early 2000s. You played like an animal inside the trenches. And you,
how would you know
you
that?
Were a throwback. Well, I ref you. I've talked about this before.
Oh.
I was a football ref, and I'm still a ref in Long Island. I'm a white hat.
Oh, that's right. And that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I ref your games, Matt McLeish, Coach McLeish was your coach back
yes,
then.
Yes, he certainly
coach
was.
Yeah, well, we went through this. But you were an animal in the trenches, and you were some player, and you were a throwback. When you get told you're a throwback football player and an athlete, that is the most accolades you can get.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
It was a pleasure reffing you, and like I always say about the Cary kids,
yeah.
If I get in a fight at the bar, back then at chicken age, and my day was 18,
yeah.
I want to carry the Franklin Square kid behind me in a bar fight.
That's right.
That's the way you guys were.
That's
you
right.
The tough guys. And
the church feast, the St. Catherine's feast, there was always hands thrown at those places. It was crazy. It was a crazy
it
time
was
period.
Fights. Yep, without a doubt. But it was a pleasure reffing you in the early 2000s and watching you play. You're a little dirty too in the trenches.
No,
get
never.
Away with a lot of holes. You'll get away with a lot of holes.
Well, I don't know about that, Charlie. I definitely got away with it because I never got penalties. I didn't need to hold. I don't know about that. But yeah, no, they were dirt. I mean, I've had fingers bitten in scrums. Like my finger like kind of went into a face mask. Next thing I know, I'm getting my pinkies getting bit. People are crazy.
What's the worst thing that happened to you in a pileup?
That? Yeah, without question.
You want to hear
I
mine?
I mean, like a really, I mean, a strong bite to my pinky finger. Yeah.
That's pretty gross.
That I thought it was going to get, like, bitten off.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty bad, though.
What's yours?
I was a little obnoxious when I was in high school, and I liked playing the way I like to play in terms of equipment, right? So I would maybe leave some areas open, so to speak.
Okay. Sure.
And I was on the bottom of a pile.
I didn't wear a cup in playing football either.
Oh, yeah, no.
I wore it for baseball. I never wore it for football.
I took a cleat.
Oof.
Oh, right at the bottom of a pile on a first down tackle.
Oh.
And then the next two plays, they ran it right up the middle, right at me.
Yeah.
Oh, good time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting there going, do I call a timeout? We're 30 seconds into this game.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm going to get destroyed if I do this.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I mean, you got stomped on purpose?
I don't think it was on purpose,
yeah.
But it was definitely a nice step right there. I know I'm there. I'm going to stand here for a second.
Yeah, oh.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
That was up by you, actually. It was somewhere upstate. I can't think of a place right now.
Up by me, where I'm living now. And I'm a little further than that. But
Washingtonville.
Yeah. Washingtonville. That's about 25 minutes for me. Yeah. No, I had my pinky finger really bit down on, like, hard. And he didn't let it go for, like, a good 5 or 6 seconds. I thought I was going to get my pinky bit off. And then, of course, you're not even sure, like, who it is. Because I'm, like, I'm able to get my finger out. And I'm, like, I'm not even sure. Like, I'm trying to look around. I don't know who the hell did it. High school football. 90s music. It's one hell of a Thursday morning. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I see a couple of Yankee talk. Rob and Peter want to have some Yankee talk. We'll do that next. 888-808-1019.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I'm back after this. Incredible singer. For my money, the best singer in rock and roll history. Paul is right there with him, but I have to admit, as much as I'm biased, that I mean, Freddie Mercury was an incredible singer. Would love to see him live. And that he does, obviously, famously at the Wembley Stadium for the Live Aid concert, which is obviously the end of the movie as well, with Rami Malek playing him in the Queen movie. But that actual live performance is incredible. Incredible. They stole the show. It was the best performance of Live Aid. It was incredible.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad, right, he had the box set for Live Aid, the box set DVDs when they came out. He was so excited for this. It's the first time in my life, like, I really saw my dad, like, outside of sports with the Mets and everything. He was hyped. So we sat down, and he made us watch the entire thing, start to finish, both of them. And when Queen came on, I mean, wow. Like, to me, even, just seeing the crowd, like, and he pointed these things out to me. Look at his control of that crowd, man. That's it.
No, he was incredible. And you know what's funny? What made me think of a story? As you said it, I remember my dad. It was, I feel like it was either on TV live or he taped it, but I think it was on TV live. There was like a live television event of Paul Simon live at Central Park. There was like something Paul Paul Simon did live in New York City, and it was like kind of like right on the streets or like right around there. It was Paul at live at Central Park or something like that. And I remember him forcing me to watch it with him. And it wasn't like he didn't like, you know, staple me to the chair or anything, but like he was like, I was like, no, you're sitting here and watching it. Like, I don't know why, but that the way you said, like, he made me watch that, I, for some reason, that jumped into my mind. He like gave me no choice but to sit there and watch Paul Simon live at Central Park with him for some reason. And Paul was great too. Love Paul Simon too. Big fan. I don't know if I would consider him like live the guy, but you know, I mean, songwriting wise. All right, 888-808-1019. We could always talk music on this show. Music, movies, the season finale of White Lotus, whatever you want to talk about. I need a new show. Any show, me and the wife now have no show to watch. So if you have any show recommendations, please give me a call. Let me know what's the next one to watch. I mean, I've probably watched it, but I could always use a recommendation. We got to get into Cody Bellinger as well, his slumps. And do you honestly believe he's not going to eat wings for 5 years now? I don't know if he can pull that off. Wings are one thing. I don't know if you guys have one. I'll get into it a little bit. I have something that I haven't eaten since. I have two things that I got sick, and I'm not even sure it was their fault, but it's what I tasted as it was coming back up that I still am yet to ever take again, eat again. So we'll have a little fun with that as well. Peter and Lawrence, what's up, Pete?
Well, basically, the only thing I won't eat again is calf's liver with bacon and onions.
Okay, calf's liver with bacon and onions. Not a liver guy?
No, I make it, mm-hmm. but my stomach doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
I sauteed calf's liver, medium, rare, medium. Sauteed onions separately. Make the bacon nice and crispy, and then you put the onions on top of the calf's liver,
mm-hmm.
with the bacon and a little
sure.
bit of sauce, salt and pepper. It goes right, but doesn't agree with my stomach.
I hear you.
But give up on wings.
Well, that's Cody Bellinger got sick on wings, and he said he's not going to eat wings for 5 years. I don't know if that's possible.
Don't get them from a hotel.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Room service wings, probably not a great idea.
They don't change the fryer.
All right, what do you got?
Well, basically, the Yankees, they need a pitcher starting.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, like Michael King or...
Jordan
Montgomery?
No, well, Jordan Montgomery is having Tommy John surgery, so... Jordan Montgomery is out. Michael King, you want the Yankees to get their guys back. Michael King's part of a rotation of a team that's winning. Like, it would have been one thing in the offseason. I don't know. Like, they're not going anywhere now. Like, Pete, that's why I saw your call and you said potential Yankee trades. You're talking about a long time from now. They aren't making a trade in the next 2 months, like, of significance. Like, they just, it's not in the cards. Teams aren't looking to trade Michael King or a pitcher like him. And then, let's be totally honest, the Yankees right now, as much as I'll tell you that I think the demise of the Yankee farm system is far overblown, and that the reason the farm system is down is because so much of it is now feeding the major league roster, which is ultimately a good thing. That doesn't change the fact that, yeah, outside of like George Lombard and obviously the outfielder, I mean, losing my mind on, can't think of his name right now. It'll come to me. But like those two prospects, like that's it right now. That's it. They don't have like a lot of prospects to make a trade. Like there was that talk of Sandy Alcantara. There is no way that the Yankees can make a trade for Alcantara. There is just no way. They don't have the farm system right now. Spencer Jones. I don't know why I couldn't think of Spencer Jones. Those are the two. They have two high-level prospects. Lombard and Spencer Jones are legitimately good prospects that could get you possibly an excellent starting pitcher. But the Yankees aren't going to do that. That's all they have. You get rid of, I mean, they're not going to do that for a starting pitcher unless it's a young, controllable one. And I'm not even sure how many more years Sandy Alcantara has. And I don't know if I'd want them to do that, to be totally honest with you. And that's an interesting conversation to be had about this rotation, too. But forget the the trades, which just aren't going to happen yet. They could trade for an arm. It's not going to be a Michael King who was, you know, we'll see where he is. He had one bad start. He's had a couple of better ones. You know, he was in consideration for the Cy Young. He was like that's the kind of talk they had off of how good he was last year. That quality pitcher, one, I don't know if he hits the market as good as they're going to be. And two, like that type of ace starting pitcher, if any other team is interested, like that's where I have to admit the Yankee farm system isn't in a position to make a big trade for a big-time player right now. I just don't see it. Not a starting pitcher, certainly. Maybe if you want to go get a Tucker, if he becomes available if for whatever reason the Cubs falter and you want to go trade for Tucker, maybe that's someone they can go get and be willing to give up some of these young prospects. But even then, anybody who wants them have better prospects probably than the New York Yankees. They've got one move here, and I don't think they want to trade Lombard. And that's why, and not only that, the pitching depth is so light in the organization, which leads to the conversation of who's out of the rotation when Clark Schmidt comes back. And I'll tell you, I know most Yankee fans probably want to say that when Clark Schmidt comes back, get rid of Carrasco. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to send down Will Warren and keep Carrasco because they don't have any depth whatsoever. And you can't send Carrasco down. If they get rid of Carrasco, if they cut Carrasco, if they designate him for assignment and just get rid of him, and anything happens to another starting pitcher, I don't know where they would go. Like, I don't know where they would go. Like, say Clark Schmidt gets re-injured or you know, someone else goes down for a couple weeks. Like, I don't even know where they would go inside the organization. That guy Schlittler? Like, that's it. They don't have, like, anybody. So that's why I think they're probably going to be stuck with Carrasco for a little bit. I think they're going to send down Will Warren and at least have him available in case someone else they don't have enough arms to just get rid of Carrasco. So unfortunately, even though he might be the worst starting pitcher they have, and again, it's only two starts, and he did win his first start and went five innings and gave you a serviceable start. This one, he was terrible against Detroit. But I think he's going to be here for a while because they can't afford an injury and not have a guy to go to. If they get rid of him, if they just cut him because you can't send him to the minor leagues and keep Will Warren up here, what happens if someone goes down? And pitchers get hurt too much to feel confident that they're going to stay healthy for a long time until they could figure out a trade scenario or Luis Hill comes back. Like, you can't count on that. So as much as it sucks, my guess is that Will Warren is the odd man out when Clark Schmidt comes back because they just can't afford to get rid of a starting pitcher. Rob and Edison, what's up, Rob?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Well, not your best show tonight. These high school stories with Big Zoo are just brutal.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but we have a little fun sometimes on these five-hour shows.
Painful to listen to, but anyway. Well, you talk about
let's see how your Yankees, call goes.
You're talking about Yankees rotation.
Yeah.
Listen, if you look around baseball, all these starting pitchers are going 4 1/3, 4 2/3. I look at box scores everywhere, and it's like the sport is changing. Like Max Fried was an exception to the rule today. He pitched great, but the sport is changing so much that you're really developing these starting pitchers to go five innings, and you go into your arms out of your bullpen. And I just think that we just have to start to realize that the sport is really changing a lot. And to build a team on a foundation of a big rotation is just not the way to go anymore.
I still think starting pitching is important come the playoff time. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. You look around, especially early on in the season, though. You got to be fair. It is early on in the season. They're not going to push guys. They've got a lot of days off, these teams. They know that they'll have a rested bullpen because they have so many days off early part of the year. They're not going to push their starting pitchers. The innings will probably go up. But you're right. Starters don't go deep into games anymore. And part of that is that they believe the bullpens are good now. Like, do you remember all those 90s teams, the Yankee 90 teams? What did they do? They thrived on if they couldn't beat the starting pitcher. If he was an excellent starting pitcher, they'd just make him throw pitches and get to the underbelly of those bullpens, and they were god-awful. You know how many games they won against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or against some of the lesser teams in baseball by getting the starting pitcher out and hitting the middle of that middle relief of their bullpens? You look at middle relieves now, you still got guys coming out throwing 97 with funky deliveries. Like, it is a different world in the bullpen as well as the starting rotation. Like, bullpens used to just be with failed starters. Now you have guys who throw 99 who are built to be relievers who come in for an inning pumping 100 miles an hour. And you've got more better options in the bullpen. You've got guys, instead of giving that, we also started to realize that guys were better third time through the lineup against starting pitchers. And you could bring in guys who throw right-handed or left-handed specifically to get out big-time hitters in your lineup, like, or the opposing lineup. So, yeah, I mean, building a team around the rotation isn't the only way to do it, and maybe not even the smartest, but no one seems to quibble when the Dodgers go do it. No one seems to think it's a terrible idea when the Dodgers sign Blake Snell and trade for Glasnow and sign Yamamoto and, you know, sign this Roky Sasaki. Like, nobody says, hey, what are the Dodgers doing building this rotation up? Like, starting pitching still can win you games, as we saw yesterday with the New York Yankees, but yes, the innings are down. Yes, there's a reason for it. But come a postseason game, you want that good starting pitcher. Come a playoff series, you don't want to face, you know, you don't want to face Skubal three times in a five-game set. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Well, I definitely don't want to face Skubal in a five-game set.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not, Chris. You know, if they can remain relatively healthy, right? And the timeline stays fixed at where it is. And they can just hold it down. They're going to get back Schmidt healthy, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
They get back heel, fingers crossed. And, you know, and then they can go from there. So the need for that trade that, you know, is being discussed here maybe isn't as urgent, you know, hopefully.
Right.
Or maybe heel could be ahead of schedule, you know?
Well, I mean, we'll see. We've heard decent things that he's going to start a throwing program. I would sign right now for July 1st. I would be thrilled with July 1st. If they get him anytime in June, I'll count it as a win. We'll see. But they have to get through till then. And then the other thing is Schmidt and he'll have to stay healthy when they get back.
But I think, you know what? Look at the disabled list, man.
Look at what?
The disabled list, the injured list, all these teams.
No doubt.
Okay. Except for maybe the Dodgers, because they just.
Well, Snell just went on the IL.
Capital. Who?
Snell.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's almost unavoidable, and then it makes you wonder how these guys do 150 pitches every 4 days. And nothing happened. I mean, go look at that Baltimore Orioles team with the four guys. It was a four-man rotation, and they all won 20 games. And I'm pretty sure they all pitched way over 200 innings.
Oh, yeah.
Cuellar, Palmer, Dobson, and damn if I could remember the other.
Rotations of, you know, four guys winning 20 games is never going to happen again. I don't know if you'll see a team with two guys who win 20 games, let alone
exactly.
Four.
Exactly. I mean, it's a five. So, I don't know. Are the guys too, you know, is this year-round training thing messing these guys up? I mean, I don't know.
They throw harder, and they're told to throw harder. There's no more pitching. Yeah. I mean, like, they would, you know, those guys would come in, save fastballs for certain spots in the game to pump it up. Like, these guys, they were pitchers. These guys, they come in, and they're taught, throw as hard as you can for as long as you can, and we'll come get you.
Yes, like, and from a young age, too.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And look, you're right. I was having this argument. I was talking about it yesterday. Like, everybody, I was having an argument with a guy on Twitter, a discussion with a guy on Twitter, and he's like, yeah, but how do you know, what makes you think the Yankees are going to, their pitching is going to stay healthy? Clark Schmidt has been injury prone. Even Luis Gil obviously comes back, has been injury prone. You've had these pitchers who are injury prone. How do you trust it? I'm like, I don't trust it, but I'll tell you this, that's not a unique problem to the New York Yankees. Like, if I asked you who's better than the New York Yankees in the American League, you might say the Texas Rangers. Oh, how many Tommy John surgeries has Evoldi have? How many injuries has Evoldi had over the course of the past couple of years in his career? How about Jacob DeGrom? Not injury prone? Like, they're relying on DeGrom and Evoldi and guys who get hurt. Look at the Boston Red Sox could be better than the Yankees. All right. How many innings has Crochet thrown in his career? And how many injuries has he had? How about Giolito, who's on the injury list right now? How about Walker Buehler? Like, every team and every rotation is filled with guys who typically get hurt or have gotten hurt in their career because that's pitching. So the idea that, yeah, listen, obviously the Yankees got to stay healthy. So does every other team. That's part of baseball. You look consistently at who makes the playoffs and who goes on runs. It's the healthiest of teams. That's, you know, they need to be healthy in the rotation. But right now, this rotation absolutely stinks other than Max Fried, and he gave you a virtuoso performance yesterday. I mean, just 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, 0 runs. He was everything, and that was a big game. That was a big game. And the way he pitched was incredible, and they needed it desperately, and you feel so much better about the rotation, at least knowing Max Fried's at the top of it. But, yeah, the rest of the rotation has not pitched well. And you're waiting for Clark Schmidt, and he he's making a start today in the minor leagues. They haven't said exactly where yet, I don't think, because they're depending on the weather. I don't know. But whatever. He's going to make a start in the minor leagues, and then they're hoping he's back in 5 days to pitch for the Yankees. And then you're waiting for Luis Gil. And then you're waiting for the trade deadline. But that's where it is right now. And the same thing with the bullpen. You're waiting for Loaisiga. Hamilton just came back. Like, the pitching was supposed to be what carried them this year. And obviously they've had devastating injuries and Cole isn't coming back, but everybody else is. And you have to kind of just wait it out and hope you get better performances from Cook. Hopefully Cookie Carrasco gives you more of the games that he gave you against Arizona than he did give you against Detroit. And hopefully Marcus Stroman, even if it is only 4 or 5 innings, gives up only 1 or 2 more runs and gets you to the bullpen, because the bullpen's getting healthier, and I still think it's going to be dynamic at the back end. Alex in New Canaan. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing there, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Today I'm not going to argue baseball with you. My team sucks right now, and they bring me up and down the roller coaster, and I don't know what's up with them, so I'm going to see. You know, so we'll see what's happening. I've got to go through my growing pains, but music and I got a couple of shows for you and the missus.
Sure.
I just finished up watching. I don't know. Were you a Yellowstone fan? Did you like Yellowstone?
We watched like the first like 2 or 3 episodes and got caught up in something else and haven't gone back. But I'm willing to go back and check that out. So that's probably at the top of the list.
Well, if you like Yellowstone,
1853 or whatever it is.
Well. Not the 1883. That was okay. 1923, the second season was a lot better than the first season. It was really good. Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren, Anthony Dalton, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. It was
really, really good. They did a nice job. Also, did you see Landman? Did you watch Landman?
No, that's the one with Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love that. He is so good in that. And I just started watching also on Paramount Mobland, which has got Tom Hardy. And I'm up to episode number 2. But Landman, it's awesome. Really, really love that.
Yeah, and I like Billy Bob Thornton. He's doing another Goliath? He just did another TV show where he was a lawyer, and now he's doing this. I guess I could check that out. And that was where the scene with Jerry Jones. I don't know if you saw that. I know he was playing himself. And I actually had a conversation with a couple people and Jerry Recco about it. Jerry wasn't impressed or just, you know, he thought it was okay. I was very impressed. If you go back in that show, Landman, Jerry Jones plays himself. It's playing himself, but it's a cameo where I guess John Hamm is in it as well. And in the scene, John Hamm is in the hospital bed. And I guess, you know, something happened. And Jerry Jones is giving him this speech about working with his kids, about how that's been the joy of his life and family and the importance of taking time. And, you know, now that you've had this health scare, as he's talking to John Hamm in the hospital bed, you know, you should recognize what's important and how amazing it's been. The joy of his life has been, you know, running the Cowboys with his sons. And I know it's literally him and it's literally his story. So it's not like he came in and you know, played a, you know, a barista at Starbucks or anything. Like, he is playing himself. But I was really impressed with the acting. I thought the scene was really, really good. So if you have a chance to check that out, maybe I'll check out Landman. But there was a cameo by Jerry Jones that I thought was just amazing. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. 3 hours down, two more to go on our five-hour midnight ride. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.